How are you today?
Just reiterating how magic it looks to see that background.
Oh, really? I was just like, I was with a friend of mine, and her background's a psychic talk and had a lot of purples with it. And I was like, I want to match you. So I found this really quickly, and it's like, okay.
It's very fitting for what's been going on in the cosmos at the moment, anyway.
I know, right? Absolutely.
Chat.
So, Monique, Cynthia, are you there? Just wanted to say hello. Okay. Good morning. Beautiful. I'm glad all is good there. Just give it a couple of minutes and we'll get started.
Was it Mother's Day yesterday for you in Africa?
Right now I'm in Africa and it's not Mother's Day here, but in the United States it's Mother's Day, and my son called me because we're still synced. He's in Australia and I'm in Africa, but we're still synced up on US time. So he called and wished me a happy Mother's Day. It was so thoughtful and so beautiful. And he just they just make me proud that they're my boys. And yeah. Really, really nice. So I'm grateful for the celebration, or just the remembrance and the acknowledgement, because it's always special when your children think about you. Is it warm in New Zealand?
It's getting colder. It's
Are
getting
you going
colder.
towards winter or are you going towards
Yeah.
summer?
Winter.
Okay, so are we, but it's still hot here.
Yeah, we have beautiful, glorious sunny days, but getting a little bit chilly. But where we are in the Bay of Islands, it's called the winterless north because we don't get snow. Yeah, it's
Okay.
pretty mild. When we
It's
say we're
mild.
cold, it's not like
Okay.
cold, cold.
I look forward to it because then it's like I'm not sitting here with a fan on all the time on me. It
Yes, gets so hot. Well, we
does.
have greetings from London, from Monique.
Greetings, Monique. Okay, so we're going to get started right away because I really don't want to lose sight of the time and the fact that you're here, and we have so much that we can cover. Welcome, Bessie. Thank you so much for being here.
Well,
So happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So I always try to go over the previous week and what we covered, okay? And what we had covered was fear does not define me. And what I had asked each one of you to do is to really think about and notice fearful moments, fearful scenarios that you had to deal with or engage in, or just notice if something gave you that attachment or, hi, Jenna, Gemma, let me pronounce that correctly. And something that might have challenged you during the week that you had to overcome the boundary that you had to make something uncomfortable more comfortable. Does anyone want to share at all or share an example of it at all?
I guess I can share.
It'd be great, Bessie.
I've been, so this week I had a conversation with my sister-in-law. She's been going through a lot, and she's had some trauma that she discovered that resurfaced about her parents. And recently, last Sunday, I saw her mom. She's not upset with her mom. And I had some news about like her auntie passing away. So I thought I was re she was ready. I could share it with her. So she basically created her own boundaries, and she just stopped all communication with her parents. So I understood that but I when there's big things like somebody passing away, sharing with her. And I reached out to her and I said, it's been 6 months. Mom keeps asking about you. Can you give me some guidelines, what I could say? Because she doesn't want her parents knowing where she is, but we can't just continue like lying. And so I wanted to find out what was okay to say to her. fast forward, it triggered her, and then she told me she wasn't ready to talk about it. And when she did reach out to me, she was ready. I thought she was ready. And so I just started talking over the phone, like, hey, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. Just get some guidelines. What is okay or what's not okay for me to say? Because right now, this what's happening, this is, as time's gone by, like, I feel guilty, because my way of creating boundaries is just avoidance. Like, I don't want to, have to lie. So I just avoid talking to my mother-in-law. So then she proceeded to say that I was attacking her, and it just escalated really quickly. And then me not realizing, I guess she wasn't ready, so I calmed her down, and I apologized because she said I was hurting her, et cetera. And then we had to get off the phone. But after that, I was thinking about the lesson that you were talking about, judgment, right? And I was, I put myself in her shoes, like, she even mentioned that she has this guilt. So she's assigning this judgment about me that I was attacking her because, she was basically turning it around and saying it was her fault, which was not the case. But this is a very common thing that's been happening. Like, she'll not be ready about to talk about a topic, and then she'll turn it around and basically manipulate the situation and say that, hey, why are you attacking me? You're hurting me. This is not what I wanted. I just wanted somebody to listen, kind of thing. So, as I was processing the whole conversation, at first I went through a lot of emotions. Like, I felt really bad that I triggered her. And then I started getting really, really angry. Really angry because I did not appreciate how she was yelling at me over the phone, and I don't like somebody talking to me that way. And so finally, it was like 2 days of this ruminating, right? Like, I was like trying to do like energy releases, like asking my angels to help me like get rid of this anger. And so finally I reached out to my therapist last minute. Like, it's like, hey, I just need to get something off my chest. And then as I was talking to her, she shared that there was this fear that came over me, like, because I was supposed to see her on Friday. And so she basically kind of guided me and created boundaries for me to be able to share, like, hey. And it was so simple, but I ended up talking to her. I said, hey, I know we were supposed to meet tomorrow, but I'm still processing our conversation the other day. And I just, I won't be able to make it. Your brother still wants to see you guys, and but I won't be able to make it. And that was, I guess, it's that's my share. Just the fear of having to see her, or the fear of, because when I tend to do things that I don't want to do, so this fear comes up of dreading the situation, or, you know, not wanting to do it. So it was very helpful for me to set those boundaries and just say, like, no, you know, like, instead of saying like, hey, I'm still mad at you, I'm still processing things. And that's my share.
Okay, so let's take your share and let's dissect it a little bit, okay? Because there are some aspects in it, things that we haven't covered yet, but we're gonna dissect it a little bit. So the whole key about this is, what did you notice about the relationship between you and this individual? What do you think?
So I noticed that I'm typically walking on eggshells, because I know she's been going through a lot. So she's at a very fragile state. But the one moment that I didn't, you know, I kind of forgot and just didn't walk on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like I was attacked. So then I noticed myself just curling up and shutting down. And my mm-hmm. initial reaction was just like, I want to cut this person off. Like, I want to not have anything to do with them anymore. That's right. My next notice.
Let's pause right there, right? So I'm going to help you with the noticing. Because when you come 10,000 feet out and you're not in the movie, reacting to every situation that happens in the movie, then you notice the unveiling of the movie. And what you would have noticed is that the individual likes to dump on others. The individual in their relationship does not take responsibility. So therefore, it's everybody else's fault. But whose baggage is all of this? Whose stuff is this? Is it yours?
No.
No, right? So who has created a story that it has engaged you? She has.
Yeah.
She has created a complete story that has engaged you. All right. And if you watch this week's module about judgment, which we're going to touch more on this, she made a projection onto you and you attached emotions to that. And what did you do in that cycle? You gave your power away to her.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This is about you taking your power back. What would happen if you weren't the go-between?
Nothing.
Exactly. So where do you really need to be in this story?
Nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah.
Exit out of the story. It's not your stuff.
Yeah.
Not your stuff. So therefore, you don't have to figure out, what do I do between here? What do I do between here? And I got to please everybody. And then she thinks I'm working on eggshells. And blah, 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 blah. And you're playing this game, because in the triangle of disempowerment, and we'll talk about this later, there are three areas of the triangle of disempowerment: perpetrator, perpetrator of rescuer, and perpetrator of victim. What does she perpetrate?
She's being the victim.
Exactly. But what are you perpetrating in that response?
In terms of
the rescuer. The rescuer, right? These are not your issues.
Yeah.
And sometimes, whether they're karmic or not, we have to learn how to navigate through our own issues. That's why you're here. You're learning how to face things that make you afraid, face that things that are judgmental, so that you know how to conduct yourself and you know how to navigate through this life, how to navigate the fear that's caused because you love someone and you care for someone, and you don't want to cause them pain. So you're here learning about how to navigate that, right? But we also have to recognize when it's not our baggage, and then somebody has to figure their own way out. And the best thing that we could do is step back and let them, so that we are not their punching bag.
And I think that was a realization. And I knew that as I was getting, the anger was me giving away the power, because I was listening to your, it's funny because I was listening to your module before this was all happening. And I kept saying, I'm giving away the power. I'm getting, but I couldn't control the, and maybe there was anger within myself for giving away the power, you know? There was just a culmination of so many feelings, right?
Right.
And so, yeah. But
so the piece of this is, what aspect leads when you're engaging in relationship with her? Because it's not your courageous woman. That's why. What aspect of your personality is leading when you talk to her? She triggers that person to say, uh-oh, I'm talking to her. I got to walk on eggshells. That's not your courageous woman. I got to be careful what I say. She might respond to it. She might get angry with me. That's not your courageous woman. Because your courageous woman would say, listen, honey, you got a lot going on, and obviously you need to figure it out, but I can listen to you, but I'm not your punching bag. Thank you. But when you can deal with your stuff and you've sorted it out, then you can figure it out. And the other piece of this is that sometimes we're thinking that we're doing a service between two people who might be angry with one another. But when that anger clashes, guess what? They either figure it out or they don't. And that might be their karmic responsibility to deal with one another and not have a go-between. So if the parents want to reach out or the mother-in-law wants to reach out, you don't need to facilitate that. That's between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And I learned that lesson a long time ago, but a really hard way. Because I used to be referee between my ex-husband and my son, and then I realized I don't need to be referee. They'll figure it out. And they did. And it had nothing to do with me. And no matter what plethora of emotions that they go through, right, you can enjoy having the relationship with either one, exiting out of the story. And if they engage you to say, oh, well, you should be in between. No. You deal with her when it comes to that. I'm not dealing with you on those terms. However, we're friends, you want to engage, you want to chit chat or talk, I'm here, but I'm not getting in the middle of things. Exit out of the story. Because that's where the drama is coming from, and it's unnecessary. And I thank you, Bessie. Thank you for having the courage to share, because this is how we learn to apply the tools. This is how we learn to say, what is it I notice? And so being in the movie, you're reacting to what she's saying. You're reacting to what's coming from the other direction. You're reacting to how you feel. Everything's a reaction. But if you step back as the observer and you go, you know what? If I wasn't a part of the story, what would she be expressing? Nothing. If I wasn't a part of the story going in between trying to referee, what would happen? They'd have to figure it out. Why am I in the story at all? Why is it my responsibility to referee? Why is it my responsibility of defining what's too long? Because one of them have to have the courage to face the other at some point. And there's a part of us that will say, oh, well, it's long enough. But I have to tell you that I was in the middle of that. My niece wasn't talking to my sister. And they went a year for not talking. And then what? After a year, when my niece was like, I don't want her to know. And she had adopted a little boy at the time. And I'm like, it's not right. I'm not hiding anything from you anymore. So if she asks me, I'm telling her the truth. Otherwise, I suggest you step up and do it yourself. But I'm not lying for you. I just made my stance. I just made my declaration of my stance. And if you don't like it, deal with your stuff. But I'm not lying for anybody. If I'm asked, I'm telling. Guess what? She wrote her mother a note and she dealt with her stuff. And then their friendship was all great. And there I would have been, hurt feelings and everything else in the middle, trying to appease both. So we exit out. And then the other piece is we don't take sides, but we stand in our truth. And if your truth is, I'm not lying for you, I don't care whether you like it or not, you're gonna have to find somebody else to lie. It's not me. If I'm asked, I'm telling the truth. Deal with your stuff. That's simple. That's not saying I don't love you. That's not saying I don't care about you. That's not saying any of those things. That's just saying, here's my truth, and you're going to respect that. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And each week, I'm going to ask somebody to share their story so that we can use the example of the tools that we had, the power of our words, the noticing, what aspect is leading. Because the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what aspect is leading you when you're in the situation, when you're in the movie? Okay? And then, you know, the fact that you understood about the judgment piece was beautiful, beautiful work done, Bessie. So let's segue right into that. Let's talk about judgment and let's talk about the modules that you listen to. Judgment does not define me. If I ask you anything, the number one thing I'm going to expect you to remember is that, how do we give away our power? How do we give away our power? When we attach emotion to what has been projected or judged on us, we've given away our power. It's the act of attaching emotion to the judgment is how we give away our power. Because here we are, weeks later, years later sometimes, talking about that very moment when we believe that something that was projected on us was told to us. And we took it as our truth, whether it was our truth or not, we took it as our truth. And then we made the declaration of, oh my gosh, I got to change my life based on that perceived truth that we attached emotion to. And it had nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with us. It wasn't our truth. It was a judgment. If I said, Kathleen, you don't look good in white. And you go, oh my God, I don't look good in white. Oh, I can't ever wear white. Oh, you know, she says I don't look good enough. You gave away your power to me. And you didn't look at the agenda behind the statement, right? It could have been that I see you in white and you look really good in white and I wish I looked good in white. So instead of making you feel good, I said something very snarky. And I said something that said, oh, well, you shouldn't wear white. You don't look in white. Well, when in fact, it's opposite. What's the agenda behind why people say what they say? You know, if I don't like somebody's haircut, maybe it's because I really wish that I could have a haircut that looked good, that good. And misery likes company. So instead of complimenting you and saying, God, your hair looks great. You really look great today. I go, well, if you want to call that a haircut, you know, and then you go, oh, my God, you don't like my hair. And then I mirror that back and I really look at that and I realize there was an agenda there. There was jealousy there. There was insecurity there. There was just plain misery there. And misery just wanted me to be miserable. We need to look at why people engage into the areas that they engage in, why they are doing what they're doing. Right? Why is the person creating more drama in their life? Because remember this, right? We are the creators of our universe. So if we're the creators of our universe, why would somebody want to create more drama than necessary? Why would somebody want to have you go up and down a roller coaster of emotions unless they just want to feel sorry for themselves and create more drama so that they have something to talk about? so that they can do the cyclical self-loathing if they don't like themselves, self-lack of worthiness if they don't feel that they're worthy. These are real deals. What does self-hatred look like, and how does it show up in people? What does self-loathing look like? Well, if I'm self-loathing and I'm not going to turn around and say, Bessie, I hate myself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make Bessie feel the way I feel. Because I got issues, and you know what? I just can't hold these issues, so I project them onto you and make you feel bad and create a drama around it. Because I'm not dealing with my own issues. So I project them onto others. What does that projection look like? What motivates that projection? Why wouldn't all of us at a certain point just want to wish well for each other? Why wouldn't we want to wish well for each other all the time? Emotions, when we lead by emotional states, we're basically giving away an emotional state that basically brings through different areas of trauma, unless it's a happy state. Because if you look at why we have emotions to respond, to release, to let go. So if I'm angry, I'm letting go of the anger in my heart. It's supposed to be a release, but because I'm projecting it on, because the power of my words can innuendo something so traumatic to others. If we receive that at the other end and we make it our truth, we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to process it. So the key is, first and foremost, recognize it's a judgment. Let's recognize what judgments look like. Judgments come in sometimes based on inadequacies. Judgments come in because of jealousies. Judgments come in because an intent to want something better for somebody else because we couldn't have it ourselves. Why do judgments come in? Think about that. What makes a judgment? Even we're simply looking at a telephone and we go, oh, I like this phone because of this, but I don't like the phone. Like, I don't like Androids because I feel like they're over-engineered. It's too much. I don't know what to do with all of the pieces. There's too many apps. I get lost. But that's a judgment. Somebody else can embrace that. Why do we make judgments? Do we make judgments because we want to manipulate the outcome or we want a certain outcome? It's fair to say. What is the outcome and the motivation that we want from a judgment? Think about this. So as we walk down the path, we make judgments, we project judgments ourselves. What is our motivation behind the judgments? Why are we making that judgment call? Is it to engage to help guide us? Is it to engage to help get a positive outcome? Is it to engage to help organize themselves? There are valid reasons for judgments. But we just need to think about what's being projected. Make sure that is it fact or fiction? And if it falls into that fictitious category of trying to hurt my feelings or trying to manipulate the outcome or trying to show hostility, then we realize that it's not our truth. Let's separate what's not our truth and let's not attach emotion to it. It's not my stuff. It's important for you to say, this is not my stuff. This is your baggage. You're projecting this onto me. It's not my baggage. did I deserve to have this judgment projected onto me? If the answer is no, then absolutely do not attach emotion to that, and absolutely do not make that your trust, your truth. Sometimes judgments are like dangling carrots. Because again, a person wants to manipulate the outcome, so they'll dangle the carrot for you to finish the judgment by projecting guilt or shame. And so by making the projection of the judgment, they're hoping to engage your own guilt and your own shame to get the outcome that they want. Right? And what are guilt and shame? Because I don't believe in guilt and shame. I really don't believe in guilt and shame. Guilt and shame, when we use it on ourselves, is to manipulate an outcome of our own calling that we don't want to do. I feel guilty, so I'm going to take him to the store. I'm ashamed, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. They are the direct responses when someone cannot take no for an answer. No, I will not lie. No, I will not take you to the store. It's not convenient for me right now. No, that doesn't work for me. I would have to jump through all kinds of hoops in order to engage you, and that wasn't on my calendar today. So deal with my no. Well, how could you say no to me? I'm your this, I'm your that. How much do I do for you? Blah, 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 blah. All of those are manipulations to get what? The outcome wanted. We've got to learn how to stand in our truth and know how to say no and learn not to attach a judgment or attach emotions to the judgment, so that when we say no, no means no. And you can go through the plethora of emotional roller coaster that you want. You can go through the plethora of emotions that you feel because you were just told no, and have the respect and understand that no means no. And sometimes there's no such thing as no, there's no such thing as not that way. It's not no forever. It's no, that doesn't work for me right now. We can look at it next week. No, if you're asking me that your emergency constitutes my reaction, no, it does not. So you got to figure out another way to do that, because I can't do that right now. But if you want to wait tomorrow, if you want to wait a couple of days from now, then I can help you. These are all important to be able to stand in our truth. Excuse me. To be able to stand in our truth. To be able to understand when we are attaching emotions to somebody's projection, making it our truth, when we know we should not. Notice. When we realize that the judgment is coming through a created story that somebody else has projected, and we're not supposed to be even in the story, but they're including us in the story, because if they know that they include us in the story, we're going to jump through all kinds of hoops, and that's the guilt and the shame manipulation embedded in the story. Notice each scenario that it comes in and how to navigate through it and dissect it, pulling it apart. Notice the relationship engagement. Have you always had a troublesome relationship? Is the relationship toxic? Has it always been toxic? Sometimes we have toxic family members. I just put my niece at arm's distance away, saying that she may not speak to me anymore until she respects my age and who I am. And that if she doesn't know how to discuss things that she's angry about with me as an adult, I'm not going to have a discussion with her, period. Notice. Notice if the relationship makes you feel good or if the relationship is toxic. Notice where the toxicity is coming from. Are they always in drama? Are they always creating a story? Are you feeding that story? Are you feeding that toxicity? We're not here to be people pleasers. People pleasing is another manipulation. What is your truth? Notice what your truth is. If my truth is, I really don't want to be doing this, then you shouldn't be doing it. If your truth is, this doesn't make me feel good and this needs to stop, then it needs to stop. If your truth is, you know what, I can navigate past this, then navigate past it. If your truth is, I need to exit out of the story, then exit out of the story. What is your truth? And how do you choose to act and to feel about the situation? Because remember, as the observer, if we're observing it, then we insert ourselves into the movie where we choose and we make our declaration and we exit out. So Bessie, if I have permission to use your scenario, if you entered into the relationship and basically said, I'm going to make a declaration, I am no longer going to be your facilitator and your go-between. You're dealing with this on your own, and really, I've had enough. I'm not going to talk about this anymore with you. And when you're ready to talk about something else, I'm here to happy to be your friend. And you exit out. What would they do except to deal with their stuff? If they're angry with you, well, they were angry with you beforehand. What difference is it going to make? Two adults, communication, communication, communication. You want my advice? Communicate directly. No more, no less. No sides, no nothing. Communicate directly. Exit yourself out. No more drama. Sometimes we have to step back, 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 back. How was the story created? Did I create the story? Did I create? What's my role in the story? What's my role in the story of judgment? Can I change that role? Yes. Do I have to give my power away? No. Do I even have to have a judgment? No. I don't care what the outcome is. That's between the two of you. Not my stuff. You guys figure it out. Not my stuff. If it's between me and somebody else, then you make your declaration in your own respectful, truthful stance. What is your respectful, truthful stance to yourself? Because you have to be your priority. You're not the person's priority who's creating the story. They are their own priority. So if you're not going to be your priority, who else is going to be their priority? Who else is going to be your priority? You have to be your own priority. It starts with you. And then once you make your declarative stance of your own truth and your own respect of how you see or you feel circumstances or situation, then everybody has a right, it's free will, to decide how they want to feel about it or respond to it or not respond to it. But you can feel good that you were respectful to yourself. And sometimes for us, that's the first time. I talk about this with women who are the heads of family because we tend to make ourselves a martyr to the family, where everybody else's needs comes first. And then our needs are always secondary. But for those of you who are mothers, I'm going to say, and then for those of you who are fathers playing that kind of role, because there are men who play those roles now, too. You sit the family down and you say, my things are just as important as your things. So how are we going to figure out how to get everything done? Where my stuff is just as much of a priority as your stuff. And so if that means that little Joey has to get dropped off an hour and sit there and wait for an hour because my activity is the same time as his activity, then he sits and waits. Or if he has to find a ride, call your friends, find a ride. Let's all figure it out as a family so that we all get to do what we want to do. Really important. Really, really, really important. Because there's a balance to a family. We all sit in circle. No one's above us, no one's below us. So just because you gave birth to children doesn't mean that you don't sit in circle with your own children and your own family. You sit in balance with them. How are we going to solve the problem? Not how am I going to solve the problem, or how are you going to, but how are we going to solve that problem? And we can take that professionally too. You know, people like to throw problems over the fence. Your problem now, I'm done with it. Who said you're done with it? How are we going to make this work? Because this isn't, you don't get to throw it over to me. Mm-mm, that doesn't work for me. We need to work this out. Same thing with a student-teacher relationship. If a teacher has your child 8 hours of the day, and you have your child the remaining, you know, 12 to 14 hours, they have your child just as much as you have. So if there's a behavior problem, how are we going to work this out? Because you see him or her just as much as I see him or her before they go to bed in their sleep cycle. It's a 50-50 shot. So you work together. It's not like, oh, sorry, that's your problem. No, it's not my problem because 8 hours a day, little Joey is working here, being educated and having to engage, and you're in under your purview. So we are going to work this out consistently. So think of all of the levels by which we deal with on a human relationship. And understand that whether it's auntie, niece, you know, or mother, daughter, or employer, employee, or husband, wife, or boyfriend, girlfriend, or sister, sister, or whatever the case may be. In no time in the relationship should you feel like it's all dumped on you and you have no choice. You always have a choice. You always have, people may not like your choices. That's a different story, but you always have a choice. People may not respect that you're taking a stand, but you always have a choice because sometimes conformity is what rules the way and everybody is going downhill. Everyone's going downhill. And you're the one person that decides to go uphill. Your choice has to be respected. They cannot force you to go downhill. You can use guilt and shame as the manipulators to give the outcome of conforming. But then you're using your own manipulation to conform. You still had a choice. Notice how you observed, or did you take the time to observe? Are you stepping back far enough to observe the whole situation and whether you even need to be in it or not? Notice whether the projection of judgment was given to you, sent to you, projected on you, handed to you, manipulated to you, guilted to you, shamed to you. Notice. Notice what aspect deals with and responds to it, to the judgment, because it's not your most courageous person. If it was your most courageous person, you would just look at the judgment, walk away, and continue on your merry way, not even thinking twice about it. But if we're dealing with it, if we feel shame, if we feel guilt, if we feel like we have an obligation to it, you're not in your most courageous self. Because your courageous self would just say, yes, this works. No, it doesn't. I'm gone. Know what aspect is leading you when dealing with confrontational situations. Know what aspect you're leading with when you're feeling insecure about a particular situation. Know what aspect you're dealing with when you feel, you know, like you've given away your power and you don't know how to take it back. And let's talk about taking back our power. How do we take back our power? Release the emotion. How do we take back our power? Release the emotion. It's the emotional state that's holding on to it. And the ego says, oh, well, if I don't, then maybe I don't care. That's not true. There are many people we love we cannot live with. It doesn't mean we don't care. It just means that we don't live with them. There are many things that we do. It doesn't mean that we don't care. It's just the fact of the situation that if I have a toxic person in my life, you know, I deal with them at arm's distance. I'm not going to set myself up to spend the day with someone toxic. I'm not going to set myself up to go engage in a great grand event where I have to spend hours with someone who's toxic. Because if I do, shame on me for not being able to stand in my truth and say, no, this doesn't serve me. I'm not going. This doesn't feel good. I'm not going. We always have a choice. So in taking back our power, part of that is being strong enough, not only to stand in our truth, but being strong enough to deal with the fallout emotions when people are used to getting their own way and decide that they're going to project more judgment on you because you can't be manipulated. Do I need to say that again? Being strong enough to stand in our truth and demand the respect from people who are used to manipulating us by projecting their judgments and their guilt and their shame onto us, and then dealing with the fallout because they weren't able to achieve their goal of manipulation and guilting us into doing something we don't want to do. Notice. Take back your power. Taking back your power might mean, you know what? Last time I did what you wanted. This time I'm not doing it. And I'm just being honest with myself. I don't enjoy this. And when I don't enjoy it, why am I subjecting myself to it? You go, have a good time, enjoy yourself. You enjoy it. I don't. And if you really care about me, love me, then you respect the fact that I don't enjoy it and therefore I don't want to engage. Stand in your truth. Stand strongly in your truth. They may not like your decision, but they have to respect your decision because you are your own person. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. We weren't meant to do everything together with somebody else. And we weren't meant for the other person to do everything together with us. A lot of times, relationships are all consuming. What does all consuming mean? It means that we can't find the level of balance in freedom and love. What does that mean? Whether it's our friendship or whether it's our partnership, there's a balance in love. Love all-consuming is so possessive that it's toxic. Love so free that it doesn't feel like you have love because the person's so far away from you doesn't feel like love either. We find love in the balance. Love gives and love takes. Love is unconditional. Love allows. Love contracts and expands and contracts and expands like a heartbeat. And so does freedom. Because in relationship, we have love, we have freedom. Freedom attracts and expands. someone who's saying, you can't go anywhere without me. I don't trust you. That's lack of trust. Every person should have the freedom to be able to do some things together and do some things apart. That's balance. It contracts and it expands. Some things we do together because we enjoy them together. Some things we do apart because he's not going to like everything I do, or she's not going to like everything I do. And I don't like everything that he does. And I don't like everything that she does. So sometimes what we do is we find the things that we like to do together, and the things that we do apart, we do apart. Notice. Find the balance. Find the balance in what you do. Don't judge the relationship. Find the balance in the relationship. Don't take somebody down the rabbit hole because you can't control them, but give them the freedom to want to be with you. Be that beautiful being that you are, that people look to be with you because you're so pleasant to be around. You're so engaging that I want to be around her. I want to hang with her. I want to hang with him. He's fun. She's fun. She's always happy. She's always so pleasant. Oh, I would love to go to such and such. Notice. Notice who you are around people. Notice if people bring out the best in you. Because if they don't continue hanging around someone that brings out the worst in you, that makes you feel bad. You're not supposed to be feeling bad in relationship. Notice if somebody is always talking negative around you, power of words. You want to be around somebody who's engaging, talking positively, like-minded, that sees life in a beautiful way, because we get one life to live. This is why this is so important. We get one life to live. You're here once for this span of time in this particular temple, this particular energy in this particular temple. How are you going to choose to live that life? Notice. Notice. So I'm going to open it up for questions about judgment does not define me. Redefining judgment. What questions do you have? What shares do you have? Anyone? Questions on the module, maybe?
I had a question. When you were talking about judgment at the beginning, introducing about the agenda behind judgment. So, growing up in an Asian household, like aunties and your parents are very critical and very judgmental, and they will say whatever it is on their mind, and it's typically negative, because a part of our culture is we don't encourage, or like we don't say positive affirmations. They say negative. But when they're calling you fat or that doesn't look good, like a lot of those like very superficial judgments, I was trying to understand, like, where is the agenda coming from for that when you're bringing that up? And I don't know if that there's any insight that you might have coming from, your background, your own background. You mentioned you were studying with other cultures as well. Like, yes. The only thing that could come to my mind was, maybe it's just a cultural thing about these negative judgments or,
Yeah, and that's important that you recognize that, Bessie, because when it comes to certain cultures, and the African culture is very similar to the Asian culture, what keeps you in alignment to the family traditions?
Okay.
What keeps you in your place as the woman is viewed in your particular culture? What keeps you exactly pushed the way that, or manipulated into the role, and exactly what is intended for you? It's the same way in the African culture. We are groomed to be subservient and to make sure that we know how to serve. We are groomed to make sure that we always ask permission or ask someone else to answer the questions that we are capable of thinking for ourselves. But because there's an elder, or but because there is the father and the mother, or because their opinions, as we are brought up and raised, matter more than ours, they're projected onto us, right? We are kept in alignment as to what we're supposed to look like in terms of eating wise and how much we eat and everything else by the projections of judgment made onto us. Each one of those has a manipulated outcome. So the question, and I actually raised this to African men. I was riding on a taxi of 15 men, and I was the only woman. And we went there, and they were like, Angolan women are ungrateful. And Angolan women, you know, all they want is a roof over their head, food in their mouths, and they don't care how you feel about this, that, and the other. But then my question to them was, well, do you share with her the knowledge of financials? Do you share with her what a budget is so that she understands that when she's asking for something, it's not there, it's because it's not there. It's not because it isn't taking place, or it's not because she doesn't understand, right? I ask all these things and they're like, yeah, no, I don't do that, I don't do that. I said, okay, so why? Why don't you change that behavior? Right? And they couldn't answer that. And so then it boiled down to, okay, if this is important to you, you know, what will you do? And they asked, well, what do you mean, what will I do? I said, okay, you can't fix this now, but then you become the next elder. Are you going to break the cycle, or are you going to continue this? Light bulb went on. Are you going to continue the cycle, or are you going to continue this? See, the reason the culture is that way is because that's how they were treated. And the reason that they were treated that way is because that's how they were treated. And it goes back and back and back and back and back. And we can look at how our cultures were groomed, or how our cultures were formed. Okay? And these traditions in this current state may or may not serve us now. So the question to you is that, okay, that may be why they did what they did, but the question is for you, will you continue that? Did it serve you? How did it make you feel? And what is the tradition that you will establish when you have children or for your children?
I think I already established definitely not continuing the cycle. I just wanted to understand in your context. So thank you for sharing that. Like, it just, I just knew, like, how you explained it's the manipulation and enforcing that culture, that, you know, it's much more bigger than just it's a cultural thing, but why it's a cultural thing. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah. And I mean, we can go all the way back to the beginning. I mean, pre-colonistic days here, you know, women had their role, men had their role. That's just how they survived. But now here we are, hundreds and hundreds of years later, gone through wars, exited out and everything. And some of those traditions are still standing. And we go, why? Why do we treat each other this way? Why does this make sense? Yeah. And you're not alone. That's everywhere. And actually, in all honesty, many cultures are facing the fact that the children are leaving their villages in certain the outskirts of where the traditions are held more and more succinctly, okay? Because they don't want to participate in it anymore. They don't want to be governed by that or guided by that or ruled by that. And so that's the problem when things don't shift with the people and the times. Then they get lost. And then you have one extreme to the other. And I think that there's a balance, because where I grew up in the United States, and I long for my culture, I long for traditions. But then here I am in Africa, and some of the traditions I see are like, that's not right. That's really not right. So where's that balance? And that's what we get to bring with each generation that we produce. I hope that answers the question.
Yes, that does. Thank you.
Other questions? I know we're a little bit over. Debbie Hill, if you're talking, you're on mute. There you go.
I was about to write you a private message, but we are thinking of inviting you to Cape Town. Because I heard your talk last week about this dream of half a day with the horses and half a day doing your work. And here we are. And so we will get on with creating, I'm thinking springtime. And Daphne is an event organizer, so.
I would be honored. I would be absolutely honored. So thank you so much.
I think we have the facilities and we can create it. So it would be wonderful. The resonance, it's like this has come through dreaming more than anything else.
Thank you so, so much. So, wow. Thank you, everybody. You know what you have to do in terms of homework next week. All right, you're going to be looking at forgiveness next week and how to lift the veil of forgiveness. For judgment, I want you to look at situations that have judged you, look at situations or relationships that have judged you, and notice. Notice how you react. Notice what aspect is leading you. Notice if you are in the story or looking at the story. Notice. That's your homework. And we'll see you next week. And the other thing I wanted to also mention too is that, you know, I have a book called The Seven Principles of Self-Mastery that talk about each one of these principles. So you can get it on Amazon. It's there for everyone if you want to reinforce or understand what Indigenous teachings some of these came from as we share them. Okay, or as I share them. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Dr.
We just had a couple of questions. If we can quickly look at them. The next sure. Says if someone judges you and you feel shame, doesn't there need to be a kernel of truth within it in order for you to feel that way?
I think that what we have to do is we have to step back and look at what is our truth. And it doesn't have to come in the context of wrapped in something, right? If I am an always an angry person, why do I have to feel ashamed about I'm an angry person? What I have to do is own my anger and not allow my anger to come out all the time as a response. Do I have to be ashamed of that? What's my truth? And this is about what you're doing right now, which is looking in the mirror and loving what you see and loving the totality of what you see. And if the totality is, you know, I can be an angry person. Well, I don't have to feel shame. I can just own it. Yeah, I'm an angry person sometimes. So, okay, what's the point that you're trying to make? Help me to understand. But do I have to feel shame about it? Because remember, shame is manipulating an outcome. So if shame is being projected onto me, there's something that that person wants from me. There's a difference with you were so angry, you need to go and fix that. Well, the outcome is they want me to go fix something. And so they're shaming me and saying, go fix this. But if somebody just says, you're an angry person, okay, I'm an angry person. I can own that because I've looked at the totality of myself, and yeah, that's in my repertoire of things that I can be. I can definitely be angry. I can definitely be insecure sometimes. I could be jealous sometimes, but I don't like to be jealous. That one I like to really put behind me. So if somebody says I'm being jealous, it's like, okay, I can look at that. Am I being jealous? Okay, I need to work on that. But the beautiful thing about this program is that we are taking an inner look and we can look at all of it. I am jealous. I am insecure. I am angry. I am this. I am that. Whatever it is, I am. Let's own it. So that way, when somebody tries to point it out, it's like, okay, well, I own that about myself. Yeah, I can be. But you can't manipulate me by saying, look at that in me. That's a different thing. So I believe that there's a difference between owning your state and being shamed and guilted about your state. One's manipulative and one's just a truth or not a truth. Okay, and what was the next question?
Gemma asks, is your reaction to judgments a reflection of your fears, please?
Yes. Yes, they can be. Because what do I fear when I have a vulnerable moment? I fear that somebody can see something I don't want them to see in me. And the beauty, again, about this program is that if I own the totality of myself, then everything that I'm vulnerable about, I've taken stock of. And if I've taken stock of that, then it can't be used to manipulate me. How can it be used to manipulate me? Somebody says, "Oh, Gemma, I don't know, pick something. You're a jealous person. I see it all in you." Yeah, I can be jealous. But if somebody says, "Oh, you're jealous, and I'm going to let so and so know," go ahead, let them know. I own it. You can't manipulate me with the pointing out of something within me that I've taken stock of. And this is why we're looking in the mirror. This is why we're accepting the totality of ourselves. Not this part of me is good and that part of me is bad. Nope, this is the whole part of me. And the whole part of me comes with insecurity, jealousy, adventure, discovery woman, courageous woman, can be toxic woman sometimes. I can own it all. And when I own it all, then it no longer becomes my vulnerability because by owning it, I can't be manipulated by it because I've already accepted it within myself. And once I accept it within myself, I've just taken a leap forward. I've just taken a serious leap forward of knowing thyself. And I am a child of God living this human world. And I am God's child, good, bad, or indifferent, as imperfect as I am. So you cannot manipulate me based on what you think is a falter of me. So I hope I answered that question. Anything else? You're welcome, Gemma.
It's another such empowering session and share. And just what comes to mind is like just polishing each facet of the diamond. And then, so in our totality, the diamond can shine out. That's just what what comes through for me. And yeah, just remembering that triangle, are we in that triangle? It's really
The
powerful.
triangle of disempowerment. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Love to you all. Thank you very, very much. And thank you for not showing up for me, but showing up for yourselves. You are powerful. So, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye, everyone.